now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure.
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio. This is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
Well, Arizona and Tucson, good morning. This is the Fred and Jeff Show, and this is Jeff Ronstadt without his big brother Jeff. But sitting in, we brought in the A-team. Jim Turner, local historian and favorite, is here helping me do some reminiscing, some holiday reminiscing here on the Fred and Jeff Show. Jim, how are you doing this morning?
Very good.
Thanks for
having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming on. Such short notice.
Hope you're not going to pick on me like you pick on your brother.
You know what? I hold you in such high regard that the picking on you will be a minimum.
I think it went the other way anyway. It seemed like your brother picked on you more than...
No, poor Fred. I pick on him all the time. It's good times, though.
Yep.
So, thanks for tuning in, folks. Remember, you can check us out on fredandjeff.com. If you miss past shows, like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. And you can download the shows on iTunes. You can actually sign up so every week you get a Fred and Jeff Show in your inbox, whether you like it or not. And remember, folks, we're here talking about the people, places, history, event, and culture that makes Tucson and Southern Arizona, as Fred likes to say, so gosh darn wonderful. So we've got, we're going to kick it off. We're going to kind of run a little bit out of the norm today because we've got our friend Jane from the Main Gate Square here in the studio to talk about kind of reliving Christmas and holidays of old, thanks to our friends down at the Main Gate Square. How are you doing today, Jane?
I'm very good, thank you.
Good.
It's hard to believe it's Christmas with this weather, though, isn't it?
Do you believe this? It's supposed to get cold.
And that will be 65 degrees, maybe?
I know, isn't that nice?
It is nice. That's why I live here.
That's right. So you guys are really kind of trying to turn back the clock on the memories for the holiday season.
Just a little bit. I remember growing up in a Midwestern community where you went downtown to go shopping, and you shopped the window shopping, and you had decorations along the street, and it was really a fun time.
Right.
And we have a really great environment in which to do that. So last year we started really upping the ante with our decorations, and Santa's sleigh is there.
Nice.
And we have Santa every Saturday. And so we have a lot for the kids to do, but we also have a lot for adults to do, just walking around and either window shopping, or we'd really appreciate it if you go in and spend your hard-earned dollars.
Yeah.
Spend your hard-earned dollars and support local businesses.
I like it. So for those folks that don't know, the one or two out there, where is the Main Gate Square?
Main Gate Square is located between Park and Euclid on University Boulevard, and also between University and 2nd Street on Park. And we have about 60 merchants, 30 are restaurants, and 20 salons and retailers, and we have something for everybody. I do all of my Christmas shopping for every member of my family, including babies and grandmothers, at Main Gate Square.
That's awesome. Now, one of my favorite stores of all time, Posner's Art Supply, aren't they in New Digs down there?
Yeah, they just moved in, and we really love having them. And they have some really fun things that you could buy at Posner's, like great paper to wrap your gifts in. I mean, extraordinary paper. And then really practical stocking stuffers for any member, again, of your family. Things that people really need. Artists, or just, you know, if you like to draw, or just your normal pieces of paper and notebooks and journals and things like that.
Yeah, Posner's is one of my favorite stores. I remember going in there buying stuff when I was going to the U of A, and I don't know if Mr. Posner is still around.
Dick Brown and Emily Brown own it. They bought it from the Posners, and they will celebrate their 100th year in business next year. So we're very excited about the prospect of a future event with them in the spring.
That's great. Do you know that, Mr. Historian?
I had no idea it was that old.
Yeah, that's awesome,
isn't
it?
Along with the centennial? Oh, next spring. So it'll be the year after statehood. Yeah.
That's very cool.
I had no idea. There must have been nothing else there at the time.
So now, what else you guys got going down at the Main Gate Square? I mean, are you celebrating all the holidays down there?
We are. Yesterday, we kicked off Hanukkah, by lighting the menorah and having a celebration with music and giving away dreidel and giving away gelt. And we will continue. We have a local first and Yelp event on December 11th where we will benefit the community food bank.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
For every two cans of food or $2 you bring down to Main Gate Square for the Community Food Bank, we will give $1 in Main Gate bucks that are good at all of the merchants in through Christmas. So if you don't want to shop that night, you can bring your Main Gate buck back sometime during the holidays, and you'll get that off your bill at that particular merchant.
Well, it sounds like Main Gate bucks is a good stocking stuffer as well.
It is a good stocking stuffer. We have Main Gate gift certificates, too, that you can buy in larger denominations. So we have those available, and they're available to be purchased online.
That's
as
wonderful.
Well.
All right, any events that you have on the calendar that you
We have a posada on Saturday, and that will be more traditional, inspired by our Hispanic culture in Tucson. And we'll have mariachis and dancers and a piñata and a mariachi parade, which is typically what happens at the end of a posada. There's a parade with children, and then you go to see the Nacimiento, which will be in the Geronimo Art Gallery.
Nice. That's great. So Main Gate is one of the places you want to be.
Right. Well, we have the Santa. I mean, he is the real deal.
Nobody else has the real deal Santa. We all know they're all Santa's helpers. The real Santa's
busy at the
North Pole.
No, the real Santa is at Main Gate Square every Saturday from 1 to 4. And he is by his sleigh. Or you can just climb in our sleigh anytime you want and take your own photos. And that's a lot of fun, too.
Very fun. All right. Well, listen, thanks for coming on the show and sharing with our listeners all the fun stuff going on down at the Main Gate Square.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. Merry
Absolutely.
Christmas.
Thank you. You too. All right, folks, we're going to take our quick first break, come back with Senor Jim and some cool history stuff, and tell you about some more of the great things that are happening here in Tucson and Southern Arizona. So stick around.
Visit the Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
Why are we proud to live in Tucson?
Because the trauma team at UMC delivers life-saving care.
Because the engineers at Solon make solar energy a reality.
While Davis-Monthan Air Force Base helps protect our freedoms.
Because researchers at Ventana Medical Systems lead the way in the nation's fight against cancer.
And because the Tucson Conquistadors raise millions of dollars to support kids' charities.
This is my Tucson, and together we thrive.
At Barker Morrissey Contracting, our goal is to develop lasting relationships with each one of our clients. We measure our success on achieving that in the end. We offer the best possible combination of experience, integrity, and commitment available in Arizona. The foundation of our organization is a commitment to meet our clients' needs from pre-construction services through project build and move-in. We have experienced, cohesive project managers who thoroughly analyze each project prior to construction. We do this to provide value engineering at the front end of the project while reducing time-consuming change orders during construction. We are confident that our collaboration with you will result in a successful project that will exceed your expectations. Barker Morrissey Contracting. Straightforward, honest, and reliable. Call us at 323-3831 to set up an appointment. That's 323-3831.
Hi, this is Jeff Ronstadt from Ronstadt Insurance and the Fred and Jeff Show. We are right in the middle of Medicare open enrollment. So if you need help or your mom and dad need help with their Medicare insurance, whether it's a supplement or a Medicare Advantage plan, give us a call at Ronstadt Insurance, 721-4848. We'll be happy to help them. We'll sit down and show them plans from Blue Cross Blue Shield, Health Net, United Healthcare. We pretty much have them all. Give us a call at Ronstadt Insurance, 721-4848. We are pioneers in good service.
Casa de la Luz is Spanish for House of Light. That's what one needs when facing a terminal illness. A House of Light to provide comfort, support, and experienced hospice care during the end-of-life journey. The mission of Casa de la Luz is to provide superior care to patients and their loved ones so that they may complete their mission on this earth in comfort, dignity, and harmony. Founded in 1998 by Lynette Jaramillo and Agnes Poor, Casa de la Luz Hospice has become a leading provider of superior hospice care throughout Southern Arizona. Whether it is in the hospital, at home, an assisted center, or a nursing home, the caring staff at Casa de la Luz will reach far beyond the usual and customary hospice service. Every service provided is a reflection of our commitment to our community. Casa de la Luz Hospice, because every day counts.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And welcome back, folks, here on the Fred and Jeff Show. I'm Jeff Ronstadt without my bigger brother, Fred. I know I said Jeff the first part, so if you got that and you sent me an email before I corrected you, I'll give you a prize, but none of you did, so there. And anyhow, we're here today with our friend Jim Turner, local historian, all-around good guy.
Hey, Jeff.
How you doing? So this is the part of the show where we let everybody know all the fun things that are happening here in Southern Arizona. And let's kick off with one of our favorites, and that would be the 16th annual Christmas at San Javier concert.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Unbelievable. With the boys' chorus, the Tucson, Arizona boys' chorus, and the Sons of Orpheus, it's absolutely wonderful. So if you can make it out to San Javier Tuesday night, that's when that is. And then on Thursday the 20th, the 17th annual Tucson Pastorella. Beautiful. It's the Borderlands Theater presents a nativity story set in the American Southwest, live with music, piñatas at the Leo Rich Theater. That's at Saturday the 20th at 7 p.m. and then Sunday at 2. 17th annual, so hopefully y'all can make it out for that one. We also have the 18th annual Downtown Parade of Lights.
Yeah.
So downtown, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on downtown.
Yep.
But I got to tell you, folks, if you're out there shopping around doing all the things you need to do to get ready for the holidays, don't forget our friendly merchants downtown, because I understand there was a delay in the streetcar on one of the sides of downtown. And so some of those merchants down there are really kind of struggling. So if you've got an opportunity to go down to Enoteca, have a little something to eat, or any of the merchants around there, support them, if you will, because they are good people and deserve it.
It is a lot better. There's still streets blocked off, but I was down there last week a couple of times, and you can get around.
Yeah, you can.
Yep.
So go and support our not only our main gate merchants, but our downtown merchants, because when you buy local, it helps everybody. Mm-hmm. Also, Fred wanted me to remind everybody about the Tucson Roller Derby coming up 15th, on December 15th, Tucson Roller Derby. So there is lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of stuff going on here in Tucson and Southern Arizona. Please get out and meet your neighbor, get out and participate in some of these super fun things that only happen once a year, you know, here during the holidays. And if you want more information on stuff that's going on, go to fredandjeff.com, and we'll have links to all of the fun things that are going on out there. Whether it's, hey, where's the next food truck rodeo? What's going on with the boys' chorus or any, you know, the music scene in town? So much stuff to do during the holiday. It's great to get out and meet your friends, meet your neighbors, yeah, and make Tucson a wonderful place to live.
Great. And it's good that you're doing that. You can connect one stop and find out where everything is right from your website.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah.
All right. So we are here today. I'm here today with Jim Turner. And Jim, first thing I want to do is thank you for coming on the show in the past, because part of what makes us Tucson is our history.
Yeah.
And gentlemen like you and Dr. Fontana, Bunny Fontana, and Big Jim Griffith, who, you know, hopefully most everybody in Southern Arizona knows, started the Tucson Meet Yourself event that has just grown to be such an amazing, amazing event. Guys like you capture our essence, our history. And whether we have folks that are transplants from anywhere in the world, or whether we have folks that are native who've been here for their whole life, you guys capture what has happened in our community that makes us Tucson. And so I want to say thank you for helping us keep a record of that. Yeah. And also I want to, you know, kind of give you a pitch for your book that you came out with for the centennial, mm-hmm, that we've talked about here on the show phenomenal book. Can you can you remind our listeners a little bit? Because I think that would be a great holiday gift, a great Christmas gift.
Oh, absolutely.
Would be your book. Tell us about your book a little bit.
It's called Arizona, A Celebration of the Grand Canyon State. And if you just go to Google and type in Jim Turner Historian, you'll get my website and you can see pages from the book. Or you can go to Amazon and type in Jim Turner. And you don't need anything else. My book is the first one that comes up, and Amazon has a look inside feature. But this is a coffee table book, and yet it's also a full history of Arizona. It's a brief history, and the type is big, and it's not written academically, although I could have done that. But it's a broad brush from the forming of the Grand Canyon to the modern biotech industries. And it's got everything in between, the Rough Riders and Geronimo and everything that makes Arizona different than any other state. So lots of pictures, some of them by professional photographers, some by 20 paintings by Maynard Dixon, which are just beautiful.
Very cool. Very cool. And a lot of pictures from local amateur photographer Jim Turner.
Yes, absolutely. And historic pictures from museums all over the state, from Kingman to Wilcox to you name it. I went there and got pictures.
Well, folks, if you're looking for a special gift, this is a great gift. And you don't have to be a Tucsonan to appreciate it. You can send it to your friends all over the country, because you can do that on Amazon.
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
Link and zing, have it shipped to their house for Christmas.
Yep.
Or the holidays. So that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the holidays in Southern Arizona. Lots of history on what's been going on here.
Yeah. Well, it was, you know, we were a pioneer frontier town, so we did things differently than you would have expected back east. And one of the traditional things, what I did a couple of years ago, I went through the newspapers from the 1870s and 1880s for the Christmas week to see what was in the papers. And in the 1870s, they didn't do very many feature articles. It was mostly ads for things. But by the 1880s, they were starting to write stories and talk about what was going on. And one of the main traditional events was a turkey shoot. More Western could you get? And that was at the U of A. And it was the 3 or 4 days leading up to Christmas. And they would shoot at targets, but you won a turkey. You could win a turkey for your family if you participated. And the newspapers day after day would report on this thing. And the soldiers, after the first couple of years, they banned the soldiers from participating. They were just too darn good.
Sure.
Yep. But if you weren't a good shot, you could also buy a ticket and win a raffle for a turkey. And that was sponsored by Charles O. Brown's Saloon. So we had a lot of gambling halls and a lot of saloons, a lot of those theaters like the Birdcage, but not the Birdcage. But
right.
The things that you see in the movies, some of that was actually true. But you could buy a ticket and win a turkey at Charles O. Brown's Saloon.
Now, where was Charles O. Brown's Saloon?
Well, it's where El Adobe Restaurant was, right there on Broadway, just east of Stone, and you can still see it down there. It's a pink building with a blue porch on it, and it is probably the oldest building. Parts of it are the oldest building in Tucson, and they're from the 1850s. So the very back end of it, there's a kind of an open square. You go in the front door, and then, like many haciendas back then, they built all the rooms around an open square in the middle, and the back part of it, I think, is the oldest part.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. So winning turkeys was a big thing.
Oh, yeah.
Or competing for turkeys was a big thing in the holidays back then.
Sure. Yep.
That's very fun.
Yep.
That's very fun.
But then, also in the 1880s, we really wanted to become more of an all-American town. We tried to get rid of the Southwestern thing. You would still see, and still do today, obviously, from the main gate lady that talked about it, the Posadas, where you retrace, you know,
Mary and Joseph steps to find shelter for your...
Yeah, exactly. And that's still done by La Pelita Museum down there by Carrillo School. They still do that. But you would see that, and of course you'd have the Christmas tamales. That was something that, you know, is typical of Tucson.
So let me ask you a question. Why was it such why would anyone ever think about wanting to have an East Coast Christmas here in Tucson? Because most people were transplants?
Yes,
or?
Yeah. Tucson was kind of a late starter because of the Apaches for the most part, and really there was no reason to come out here until the mining got big. And so these were transplants that worked for the mining company, or they were doctors to the mining company, or they worked for the railroad. And so they really,
they didn't understand.
It's sort of like Foreign Legion. They could hardly wait to get back east. You know, they didn't want to know the new culture as much as they wanted to rename the streets. El Camino Real became Main Street and that sort of thing. They really wanted to make it more. And so they started offering Mansfeld's News Depot, advertised in the paper, we have all your supplies for decorations and all of the Christmas stuff that you needed. And of course, Jacob Mansfeld is Jewish. We had several Jewish merchants. The Steinfels, that store back then was called Zeckendorf's. And they had a branch in Santa Fe, Albuquerque. And Tina Lyons has written a really good book about the Zeckendorf's and the Steinfels. But they had all the ads. They had an annual Christmas bazaar where you could come in and buy all the products you needed. And so, and they had things like citron and currants and all of the things you'd need to make the traditional fruitcake. At the time of year, they wanted it to be like the Christmas that they grew up with.
And how big was Tucson around this time?
Oh, golly. You got me there. I'm thinking maybe 7,000.
So it was itty bitty.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's crazy.
It wouldn't have gone much farther east than, well, you've got the railroad is right there at the edge of town, mm-hmm. where the Broadway underpass is. So mm-hmm. it's just a couple of blocks east of Stone would be the east edge of Tucson at that time.
Yeah, you know, the end of the year is a real good time for reflection.
Yeah.
You know, what we accomplished this year and what we hope to accomplish next year. But as we kind of reflect on what Tucson was mm-hmm. 150 years ago, that's crazy. That's amazing stuff that back in the late, mid 1800s, there were less than 7,000 people here.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and we, a couple of weeks ago, we had a gal on from, are the folks on from the Tucson Jewish Museum.
Okay.
Phenomenal stuff that they've been able to collect from Southern Arizona, and how large the Jewish community was back then. Did you know that the first synagogue was started in Tucson? In the state of Arizona?
Yeah.
First synagogue.
Yeah.
So, the crazy stuff.
Eileen Warshaw is a good friend of mine.
Yeah, she was wonderful.
She knows her stuff.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're at the bottom of the hour. You know, again, the time goes so fast.
Yeah.
So, folks, we've got to listen to the news and pay some bills, and we'll be back in about 2 minutes. So stick around for more on The Fred and Jeff Show. As Congress Street opens and construction slows down, it's never been easier to enjoy downtown.
With more than 15,000 spaces, it's a breeze to find parking while you're downtown.
You can enjoy everything from world-class cuisine to great casual dining. Take in a show or explore dozens of galleries and museums.
Have a night on the town with the best nightlife around. Shop at amazing stores with unique and fashionable goods in Tucson's downtown.
Fun you won't find anywhere except downtown. Support your locally owned business downtown.
See more at Tucson. See more at going down on Tucson.org. See more at downtowntucson.org.
What a cheese. Well, you know, come on.
Are you planning a special event or celebration? Call Arizona Party Rental, the number one party rental company in Southern Arizona.
Dave Fitzsimmons, cartoonist here. I figured since you can buy politicians so easily these days, why not rent an entire party? So I contacted Arizona Party Rental, and they said, that's not what we do. Well, guess what I found out? I found out they rent everything you need to throw a party. You know, I'm the kind of guy who likes getting married so often, it's good to know. Planning a party or a special event? Check him out at ArizonaPartyRental.net. Now, every time I get married, I call on Arizona Party Rental. If you're like me and you say I do more often than Larry King, call on Arizona Party Rental. And unlike Uncle Sam, they understand what a tight budget means.
Thanks a lot, David. Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. Do what Fitzsimmons does. Draw your own conclusions. Visit Arizona Party Rental today on Speedway and check us out on Facebook.
Do you suffer from irrigation leaks, a broken sprinkler, leaky valves, or you just can't find the problem? At H&S Garden, we provide high-quality, reliable service at reasonable prices. Our repair technician has over 25 years of experience. And if you hate pulling weeds, raking mesquite beans, or trimming those thorny bushes, just leave the dirty work to us. We're licensed contractors with 30 years of experience in landscape management. Our crews are professional and take pride in their work. We'll meet you on site to establish a program that works for you. Call today at 293-6488 or visit us at hsgarden.com. H&S Garden, a family-owned and operated Tucson small business.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And welcome back to the Fred and Jeff Show here with our friend of the show, historian Jim Turner. I'm Jeff Ronstadt, wondering where my brother Fred is today, goofing around somewhere. And folks, if you want to listen to old shows, Fred and Jeff, or check out our, you know, Jim and the show today, go to fredandjeff.com. There's links to all the great events that are happening in Southern Arizona. But remember, you can also like us on Facebook, get updates, follow us on Twitter, and download the show on iTunes. So, Jim,
yes.
Christmas in Southern Arizona,
yes.
Years and years, and we were talking at the bottom of the hour, the last break, or before the news break,
mm-hmm.
about Christmas, what Christmas was like in Tucson back in the 1800s.
Right.
And how it's changed, and during the break, we were talking about how it's changed so much,
yep.
from, you know, a little town of 7,000 people to now, you know, a metropolitan area with almost a million.
More than a million.
More than a million.
Yeah.
And, and you reminded me that you have, this great mining story about Christmas, a Christmas story here in, Arizona. Can you share that with us?
Sure, absolutely. I had the good fortune to meet, India Smalley Moore, who was born in Tucson in 1902. And her father was a newspaper man. He came out here for his health, George Smalley. And he married Lydia Roca, who her father, Miguel Roca, had a store in downtown Tucson in the 1860s. So we have this Anglo-Hispanic family for a long time. George, when he first came to Arizona, got a job as a reporter, traveling around the state and reporting on mining possibilities, because people back east wanted to invest in the mines.
So he was a speculator?
No, he was a reporter. He was a mining, that was his beat, was the mining beat, so that he would write articles for the Phoenix Republican, and it had an N on it back then, and then they would publish those, and they'd get picked up by the Los Angeles papers, by the St. Louis papers. For people who wanted to invest, they would know that he'd been out there and it was not a phony mine, because there were a lot of mines that were just on paper. People were selling mining stock phony mines. So he was out there making sure there was actually ore in the mine and there were machines. So it took him to the mountains most of the time, because that's where the mines are, is mm-hmm. in the mountains. And so he wrote this story in, well, here it is, Big Bug, Arizona. It's called Christmas in Big Bug. Big Bug, Arizona. Now, Big Bug was named probably in the 1860s. Around the Prescott area, there was a lot of gold discovered 1862, 63. And just south of there, they found some gold. And near there, there was a creek. And it had these big water striders, you know, those little spiders.
Absolutely.
And so look at the big bugs we have here. So they called it Big Bug Creek, and then it became Big Bug, Arizona. We got a lot of strange names for towns in Arizona, Big Bug really takes the cake. And so here he is, and he's filing this story. Big Bug, Arizona, December 23rd, 1898. Santa Claus arranged his dates so as to arrive at Big Bug Creek 2 days ahead of time. He did this purposely to accommodate the school teacher for the camp, Miss Clay Henshaw, a Phoenix young lady. We think maybe George was trying to impress this lady. He was single at the time. Miss Henshaw had previously won the hearts of all the miners in the camp, and it is not strange that Santa Claus succumbed to her charms and slid down off the Bradshaws a couple of days early. There was excitement the entire length of the creek as I rode into camp last night. Miners were bringing their families down the trails from their homes perched on the mountainside. The lanterns they carried threw gigantic shadows across the gulch, and my horse was in a constant state of terror. It was with difficulty that I ever reached the camp at all. The miners were coming down from their homes to attend the Christmas festivities, and the gulch rang out joyous echoes as the children rushed towards the schoolhouse, yelling their ovation to Santa Claus. On the road, a procession of miners dressed in their best togs moved toward the schoolhouse. Everywhere were figures moving in the dark, and my Bronco tried to recognize each shadow with a toss of his body that would have been called bucking in some countries. "Hurrah for Santa Claus!" yelled the kids, and each one tried to make as much noise as he could so that Santa Claus would have no trouble locating Big Bug Creek. The little town fellows ran up and down the narrow camp street, scaring the horses and making the dogs bark. The kids were determined that he should not escape, and the echoes of the gulches repeated the sounds and sent them over the hills and snowbanks as if they, too, were lending their power to attract the white-whiskered man and his fleet-footed four-in-hand reindeers. The snow on the mountains, the whistling of the wind in the pines, and the cold made it seem like Christmas Eve. All that was needed was the presence of Santa Claus. As I rode into camp, the kids thought I was he. I'm not surprised that my horse was mistaken for a reindeer, for he pranced excitedly as the band of boys approached. At the one restaurant in the camp, I was informed that I could not get supper because the cook and waiter were making preparations to attend the doings at the schoolhouse. I tried to bribe the cook, but she was true to her Santa Claus. The corral man kindly directed me to a store where I might get a lunch of sardines and crackers. Storekeeper's wife made a pot of tea to go with the meal and take away the chill. As I sat down to eat, there was a renewal of the ovation to Santa Claus outside, and presently Deputy Sheriff Johns rode into camp. His great mustache was white with frost, and snow clung to his spurs and his boots. I asked the deputy sheriff where he was going to sleep, and he said he knew where there was a stack of hay. There was not an empty bed in the camp, so I made up my mind to follow Deputy Sheriff Johns to the haystack. The big schoolhouse was filled with miners and their families, and the wooden benches were crowded soon after the doors of the house were thrown open to the visitors. The little ones who were to take part in the entertainment were seated on the front benches. Sometimes the room broke out in loud whispers as some little fellow discovered a drum hidden in the branches of the big Christmas tree, which took up a large portion of the room. Some precocious youth set the alarm on the wall clock to ring at 8 o'clock, and this started the crowd laughing. A little dog resting near the big box stove jumped to his feet and turned to look at the clock, and Santa Claus entered amid the disturbance. The young folk jumped to their feet and greeted him, and old Santa danced down the aisle with the most approved ragtime step. This is 1898.
Wow.
Before the presents were distributed, the school children performed under the direction of Miss Henshaw. Mrs. Carpenter, who was well known in Phoenix as Miss Maggie Wilsacroft, assisted the teacher and took part in a pantomime performance, which was interesting. After the tree was unloaded, the house was cleared for dancing. This pleasure was enjoyed by a large number until after midnight. The Christmas festivities in Big Bug will long be remembered.
That is a great story.
Isn't it nice?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, and they are long remembered because I read this just about every year, one place or another.
But I mean, you can actually see this one room schoolhouse and everybody in the camp flocking to it to have a party.
Well, this is 1898, and we had Mark Twain in the 1870s writing The Jumping Frog of Calaveras County, and then we had Bret Hart, and he was writing his stories about the luck of Roaring Camp and that sort of thing. And so reporters coming up in the 1890s were kind of copying that style of, let's write about the frontier and then sell the stories in St. Louis or wherever, because people wanted to know what it was really like.
Well, in all honesty, how much of that story do you think actually happened? I mean, was there a lot of embellishing, or is that typical of the period?
I think that's pretty typical. There is some embellishing. He was a newspaper man, and you know how that can be.
Sure.
He wrote a manuscript that's at the Historical Society, and I once asked Bruce Dingus, the editor of the Journal of Arizona History, about, did you know about this manuscript? He says, yeah, and some of it might even be true. But he was in Big Bug.
That's awesome.
And it would have been Miss Henshaw. We could probably look her up, too.
And now, what's Big Bug today? Is Big Bug still around?
No, I don't. It might be a ghost town, but there's nothing there. It was a gold mining camp, so the gold was gone. Once the gold is gone,
there goes the town. That's,
we have more ghost towns in Arizona than just about anywhere because, you know, once the gold is gone, you just leave, and you leave the buildings right where they are.
Right, right. Yes. Okay, well, we have to take our last break of the hour. Folks, stick around. We've got more great Christmas history from the Old Pueblo here on the Fred and Jeff Show.
Working in the coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in the coal mine, about to tip down. Working in the coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in the coal mine, about to tip down. 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm already up and gone. Lord, I'm so tired. How long can this go on? Better work it in a coal mine, going down.
Visit the Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
Shelby, how does Five Star give back to its customers?
Existing monthly pest control customers who refer a friend to us receive a discount on their next service.
How about your current termite treatment customers?
When a customer's home is treated for termites, they refer a friend who has their home treated, they will receive an additional year of service on their termite contract.
Wow, that could add up to over $1,000 in savings.
Yes, it can. Log on to our website for details on our customer rewards program.
Five Star, the natural choice. 886-0045, 5starTermite.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Ronstadt from Ronstadt Insurance and the Fred and Jeff Show. We are right in the middle of Medicare open enrollment. So if you need help or your mom and dad need help with their Medicare insurance, whether it's a supplement or a Medicare Advantage plan, give us a call at Ronstadt Insurance, 721-4848. We'll be happy to help them. We'll sit down and show them plans from Blue Cross Blue Shield, Health Net, United Healthcare. We pretty much have them all. Give us a call at Ronstadt Insurance, 721-4848. We are pioneers in good service.
When Jeff and I are looking for a good cigar, we head over to Anthony's Cigar Emporium.
That's right, Fred. They have a great selection, knowledgeable staff, a comfortable environment. It's the perfect place to buy a cigar for any time.
Three convenient locations, one at Oracle and McGee, one at Crossroads Festival at Swan and Grant, and their new location at Williams Center at Craycroft and Broadway.
Come on over to Anthony's Cigar Emporium, get your cigar, and you might even run into Fred and I, and you can tell us why you love Tucson.
Women Investing, an award-winning comprehensive financial services firm, offers customized programs designed to help grow and conserve your wealth. We encourage you to explore our website at powerwomeninvesting.com and learn more about the services we provide. If you would like to make an appointment, call us at 571-9053. That's 571-9053.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
Hey, folks. Welcome back to the Fred and Jeff Show. I'm Jeff Ronstadt here with friend of the show, historian Jim Turner.
Hi,
Jim,
Jeff.
Thanks for coming on today.
Well, thanks for asking me.
Absolutely. And Fred, I'm sure we'll be back with bated breath next week to resume his position at the big microphone.
Sorry, I missed him.
No, you're not.
I like the banter between you two, though.
I know.
It's a second show, you know, watching you two go at it.
Well, folks, if you want to catch past shows, remember you can go to fredandjeff.com. There's a link there for all the current events here in Southern Arizona, so you can check that out, too. And like us on Facebook, because we send out all kinds of stuff, whether it's the downtown merchants, Main Gate Square, the zoo, you name it. If we find out about it, and it's fun, and it's happening in Tucson, if you like us on Facebook, you'll hear about it. And like us on Twitter, because Fred intermittently will send out a tweet about something fairly amusing. So, we're talking about Christmas here in the Old Pueblo.
Yes, indeed.
And thanks for that great story about Big Bug, Arizona a minute ago. So, as a historian, you're probably the best guy to ask this question to. What do you think is the one thing that runs from, you know, the middle 1800s, you know, the first, you know, recordings of Tucson, all the way to today? What's one thing that's interwoven from back then to today? Would it be posadas?
Yes.
What would it be?
That's what I was just going to... At first, I was going to say tamales because,
tamales,
you know...
sure.
But really, posada. Because of our Spanish background and the fact that Tucson was a community of Europeans as early as 1776. Actually, 1771, there was a chapel at the foot of a mountain. And so we've had Hispanics here since then, and they would have celebrated Christmas, and they at least with the posada, I'm sure. And so that would be something that is still going on today. You made the announcements about where they're repeating
right.
that. So,
well, and you know, I think every school, not every school, but a lot of schools do posadas. A lot of families in their neighborhoods do posadas. I know we do a posada during Christmas time. You know, the littlest girl is Mary and the littlest boy is Joseph.
Oh, really?
And, you know, and they carry the baby Jesus around.
Oh, wow.
You know, so we do that, and we've been doing that forever.
Well, luminarias, too. Don't forget the luminarias.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not, you know, we grew up here, so we don't realize that not everybody in the world, especially in the 1950s and 60s when I was growing up, they didn't have those plastic ones with the electric lights in them.
Right.
I mean, you had bags with
candles.
Sand and candles in them. And my family's from New England, but we put out luminarias. You know, that was the deal.
And well, what's the history of those?
Gosh, I don't know that one. I really don't.
We'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
And we'll post it on the website.
Yeah.
Because you're right. You see those everywhere.
Yeah. And you don't even think of it if you come from here. But if you've just moved here from somewhere else, it's like, what's with the bags with the candles?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like seeing a saguaro.
Yeah.
They're everywhere and you don't even think about them. And then people come in and go, wow, look at that.
And more recently,
saguaro.
I love the saguaros with the little Santa hats on them. That's
right.
A nice touch.
Isn't that funny?
Fairly recent.
There's an old-time family here in Tucson, and I don't know if they've done it yet, but they always end up putting Santa hats on Padre Kino's horse's ears.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I know. I remember that.
Every
Absolutely.
Year.
I didn't realize it was the same family.
It's the same family.
Oh,
great, great Tucson family that puts those Santa hats on Padre Kino's horse's ears.
It's a nice touch.
Yeah, so... So give us, do you have any more? I know you do because we talked about it.
Tell I got
us.
Another story, and it's also a strangely named town, and it's a town named Christmas, Arizona. There is a Christmas, Arizona, and it's not there anymore, but again, it was a mining camp. And let's see here. It's about 6 miles... northeast of Winkleman, and between 1878 and 1882, they took a lot of minerals out of there, probably mostly silver, because it's just south of Globe, south of Globe, and there's a lot of silver in the Globe area and Superior, and that's where a lot of mining, even the Ray Mine is up there now, and Winkleman, a lot of copper there now. But at that time, it was part of the San Carlos Apache Indian Reservation, and then they found the minerals. And so the government structure, redrew the reservation to make sure that the minerals were not part of the reservation anymore. And
that's not a happy Christmas story.
No, it gets a little better. And so in 1905, let me see, it's around 1902, they redrew the lines. And there was a miner named George Chittenden. And George Chittenden had done a lot of mining, and he knew that the guy that gets there first and stakes the first claim, he gets the best minerals. I mean, they can go in and prospect beforehand, and so he knew that he was going to be, he wanted to be the first guy to file a claim. And he filed it on, I believe, Christmas Eve, which was also his, Christmas Day was his birthday. And so when he filed the claim, he called his mining claim Christmas, and the mine became called Christmas. And then when a lot of minerals came around, I think it's like, let's see, 1905, it was a big enough place to have its own post office. And when you file to have a post office, you send in the name of the community, and the name of the community was Christmas. So
how big does a camp or a community have to be?
I think you have to have more than 1,000. I'm not sure what the rule is, but
so
these mining camps, they started overnight, and before you knew it, they had big machinery perched on the hillsides, and big mining companies were behind a lot of this once they got the prospecting done. So these things dotted, and you can see pictures in my book of these mining camp towns that were Eddie Bash's grandparents were in one of those in that area. I think it was Winkleman and Ray in that area, and they had the first store there.
Their first grocery store?
Their first grocery store was in a mining camp, and I think the mine sort of engulfed it, you know, so then they left. There were some towns in there. One of them was named Sonora, but they were all in that area where all the minerals were. So this thing becomes a post office in 1905, and it is a post office until 1935. And it got so people would mail bulk packages, not packages, but they mail their Christmas cards to the post office at Christmas. And so then Christmas could then postmark them. So when your Christmas cards arrived to your family's house, the postmark said, mailed from Christmas, Arizona.
Oh, that's
and that
sweet.
Was a real industry at the time, was to, you know, like sent from the North Pole kind of thing. And so that was kind of a big deal in the 1930s.
That'd be a big deal today.
Yeah,
I mean, it would be very fun to
if you had and it closed for good in 1983, but there's still some minerals there, so they might reopen it. But right now you can't even go there because the mining company has put a gate across the road, no trespassing. Anytime you have a hole in the ground, it's an insurance problem.
Right, you don't want to get close to that.
Yep. So that's Christmas, Arizona.
Christmas, Arizona.
We also had a Santa Claus, Arizona.
Really?
Yep. And that one is north of Kingman on the road to Las Vegas. And there was a lady who had made a lot of money in real estate in California, and she weighed, I think, more than 300 pounds. And she was also a cook, a chef, a master chef, actually. She was a very good cook. And she tried to start kind of a development community with houses. You know, she built a lot of houses to sell, and there was a cafe there that is said to have the most wonderful pies anywhere. And she named this community Santa Claus. She had a little thing for Santa, and there were big cardboard cutouts, maybe 20 feet high, of Santa and all kinds of Christmassy things. And that one, again, probably ended in the 1940s during the war. I don't think it lasted much longer than that. It's been a while since I've read about it. But
Santa Claus, Arizona.
Santa Claus, Arizona. So the old maps, you can find Santa Claus.
You know, with the time we have left here, and it's not much.
Yeah.
Okay, you're a historian. You've been a historian. You went to school to become a historian.
Mm-hmm.
You've written books. How do you possibly retain all of this information? I mean, it's so much fun to talk to you because we can talk about Christmas, Arizona, or Big Bug, Arizona, or Santa Claus, Arizona, and that just kind of scratches the surface of everything that's gone on around here.
Right.
and you have this encyclopedia brain working for you.
I don't know anything else. I don't know basketball teams. I just focus on Arizona history. And if people don't want to know about it, I'm just kind of sitting over in the corner. I'm just your history nerd. And I tell people when I give the talks, I usually give talks without notes.
Oh, well, let me ask you. Okay. And, yeah. And you will give talks.
Oh, absolutely. If you go to my website, JimTurnerHistorian.org, I'll come out and talk to your group. There is a fee for it. But, you know, if you're a nonprofit, we can make a deal. And I give PowerPoint presentations on various topics, the Spanish, Coronado, mining, the gunfight at the OK Corral, if you absolutely must. I can do that. But, yeah, I also give talks through the Arizona Humanities Council. I've done probably 24 of them in the past year.
What's the Arizona Humanities Council?
It is an agency that's in Phoenix. It's connected with the National Endowment for the Humanities. And libraries and museums can pay $100, and that is matched from the National Endowment for the Humanities, and they pay me a little more, plus mileage. I went to Ajo last week. I went to Cornville, just south of Sedona, last week. And next week I'm going to Yuma and Welton, which is right next door to Yuma.
So you're just traveling around
talking about history.
That's awesome. Good
and
for
it's
you.
It's great. You meet people who, my grandmother lived in Paradise, Arizona. It was a mining camp also. And so you meet people that have all these little histories of their town, and people that have just moved here and want to know, you know, about their
What's
new
going
their
on.
New home.
Sure.
Yeah.